Mishnah Ava says Bilam Harasha. So we call Bilam, of all the different bad characters in the Torah, he's the one who gets called Bilam the Rasha. So what did Bilam deserve? He gets called Bilam Harasha more than Paro Harasha. Other people who certainly weren't all that good. Why specifically Bilam? And you know what about him specifically makes him into a Rasha that we're sort of trying to accentuate that he's the Rasha? So I want to share with you the explanation from Elchanan Wasserman. I'll just introduce it with a little anecdote. I had a student once who was, at the beginning of his marriage, he was somewhat struggling with his marriage. So I was speaking with him, and he said that, he told me he's a very disciplined person, that if I can boil it all down into some rules, he can keep the rules without any problem at all. Just tell me, so tell me what to do, and this is what I'll do. And tell me what not to do, this is what I won't do. But he says, you know, you can't really boil it down into rules. And that's why he's struggling somewhat. So what he was saying is a very true point, that to build a relationship and to build a good marriage, you can't boil it down into rules. You know, I'll do A, B, C, and D, and I won't do E, F, G, and H, and then we'll have a good marriage. It's got to be much more than just a bunch of rules. It's got to be that you're sensitive to the other person and you understand the other person and you understand what the other person likes and doesn't like. And there's no specific rules that we can make that will match every single situation. So, of course, there has to be rules. And because without rules, you don't even have a framework to start. So rules creates the framework. But it can't boil down to just a bunch of rules, so that's a roommate. A roommate you can have, you know, well, I'll do this, and you'll do that, and we'll be okay, we'll manage. But to build a relationship, the rules are just there to create the initial framework, which you could extrapolate from that and build on that to build a relationship with somebody. That's, you know, for his specific situation. In addition, rules are always bendable. When you're just bringing something down to rules, rules always have loopholes and the ways around it. And again, you can't really work just with rules. So rules are important, but rules are never going to be the end game of something. And you know, when you think about that in areas of halacha, that's very much the same thing. You know, the Mishnah Berurah says that if a person doesn't learn through the Mishnah Berurah or Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Shabbos, he's definitely going to be violating Shabbos every single week. Because if there's so many complicated Hilchos Shabbos, if you haven't learned them, you're going to inevitably be violating Shabbos. But on the other hand, a person can keep all the Malachas of Shabbos, also not violate a single one of the Lamentes Malachas, and he won't really have a Shabbos. You know, a person, he can just go to sleep for 18 out of the 24 hours and sleep through the whole Shabbos. He certainly hasn't violated any of the malachas, but he'll be missing what Shabbos is supposed to accomplish. So the rules of Shabbos are setting a framework. They have to be kept. But we try to build the rules to make Shabbos into the special day, the Yom Kaddish, that it's supposed to become. So, you know, you can go ahead and play ball on Shabbos and say, well, maybe I'm not violating anything. A ball's not muktza, and there's no gzeirah. It could be today at Shemayish Fagumos. So a person can find a way to make it halachically permissible and say they haven't violated a rule, but one feels that that's not really keeping Shabbos. In a sense, you're missing what Shabbos is supposed to accomplish. You're missing really the sense of Kedushas Shabbos, a day where we're together with the family, having a suda with the Torah and with Zmiris, and finding time to go to Beis Medrash and learn. To finding a day to dedicate it to a Dabar Ruchni, that's what Shabbos is supposed to accomplish, and that's what the rules are trying to get us to. But if it just remains in the area of rules of halakh, then you haven't really accomplished what we're trying to accomplish. Once heard a story that Fraga Shaiva Mendelovitz told his son, so Shiva Pelvedas told his son about a certain mechanic or a Shiva that he shouldn't learn by him. why did he not want his son to be a student by this Rosh Hashiva? So he said that he once saw this Rosh Hashiva was playing chess on Shabbos. And he told him, you know, playing chess on Shabbos. So the person said, who said it's Asr? It doesn't say anywhere that it's Asr to play chess on Shabbos. So he felt that that reaction was wrong. No, a person can say, okay, I had a weak moment. I like chess, and I played it on Shabbos. But to say, oh, who said it's Asr? I mean, that's how Adam Chashev spends Shabbos playing chess. It means you're missing what Shabbos really is. That's not what the day of Shabbos is meant to be. You're missing, really, Kedushas Shabbos. So something's missing if you can just say who said that it's that it's Asr. So this Rabbi Chanan says was the rishus of Bilam. No, Hashem goes ahead. Bilam says, "Can I go ahead and curse Klal Yisrael?" So look what Hashem tells Bilam. So Hashem tells Bilam, "Lo yisei l'chimahem, don't go." But he doesn't just say don't go. He says, "Lo yisa'or esam, don't curse the nation, ki varachu, because they're blessed." It means Hashem says don't go, but also I don't want you to go. And I don't want you to go because I love Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are blessed, and then they shouldn't be cursed. It means he set a rule, don't go. But Hashem also said his Ratzon. This is what I want. I don't want Klal Yisrael to be cursed. So what did Bilam take out of it? So Bilam tells the Sari Balak, Me'ein Hashem l'sidcha l'haloch imachem. Hashem has refused to let me go. So I saw a mashal. Let's say my 70-year-old just got his license. So then he tells me, can he drive up to Big Bear? So I say, you know, you just got your license 3 months ago. I don't think it's a smart idea to take the roads of Big Bear until you have more experience. So my son could go to his friends and say, oh, my father just doesn't let me go. That's one way. Or he can say, you know, my father explained to me that it's not a smart thing to do. It's not a safe thing to do. There's a very big difference. One way he understands, he gets it. And the other way, okay, my father doesn't let me go, so you know, maybe that's bendable. He doesn't let me go, so you fetch enough and you try beg enough, and then the father gives in. So if it's just a question that the father is in the way and we have to try find a way to work around it, that's a rule. A rule we try to bend if we could. If it's a thing that I understand that this is not a smart idea, it doesn't make sense to do at this point, so then I don't want to do it anymore because I understand the idea behind the rule. I don't understand. I don't just keep it as a rule. So Bilam, when Hashem said, I don't want to curse Klal Yisrael, their Baruch. So the answer is, it's not a good idea for me to go. Instead, Bilam's thing was, oh, I can't break the rule. There's a rule me not to go. So then he can say, you know what, maybe let me ask again. If I don't get a yes the first time, maybe I'll get a yes the second time. And, you know, maybe I can go, but I won't curse them. So Hashem said, fine, you can go, but just don't curse them. We can start rules we can start playing with and try to make sure I won't actually break the rule. I'll just to work around it. So that Rav Chanan said was the vicious of Bilam. He recognized Hashem. But he recognized Hashem's authority that Hashem says, I can't go against what Hashem says. But he refused to take it further and say, it's not just Hashem's the boss with the stick that I have to listen to, but forget, I'm supposed to be following the ruts in Hashem. I'm supposed to be following what Hashem wants. And he never translated into the ruts in Hashem, that I'm supposed to be following what Hashem wants. That's what we're trying to say with Shabbos. You can keep Shabbos just a bunch of rules, which, again, you have to keep. And that's how creates the Kedushas of Shabbos. But it's not supposed to end there. He's supposed to create Shabbos into a Yom Kaddish and to be a special day. That's really going ahead and keeping Shabbos. Bilam never took it to the second step. He kept it as a bunch of rules. So Elchanan said, a bunch of rules we can work with. We can try to work around and try to make sure I don't break them. On the other hand, I'll go. I won't curse them. And that's what his relationship with Hashem. That's what his vicious was. You recognize Hashem, but you're not willing to hear the ruts in Hashem. You're just willing to hear the rules itself. And that's why the Maral Diskin explains that the Chazal say that Bilam had the same level a prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one who had a prophecy of direct, of pel peh, as if I'm speaking to you. All the other Nevi'im had a prophecy with a vision. It wasn't, aspakaria she'ena me'ira. It was never a direct communication. The only other Navi who had a direct communication was Bilam. So why would Bilam reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Maral Diskin says, because had it not been crystal clear, Bilam would have found a way of interpreting it that I can still curse Klal Yisrael. Hashem said this, but maybe he really means, this is what he means. So the moment that it lends itself to a little bit of unclarity, so Bilam could bend it his way. Because again, if you're just working with rules, you'll always find a way to bend them your way. If you're trying to figure out the ruts in Hashem, okay, I know what Hashem wants, and therefore I know how to interpret it, and I know how to use this. But if I'm just trying to keep it to a rule, I'll find a way to work around it. So unless it was black and white, crystal clear, as Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, Bilam would find a way of working around it. So that's why Hashem had to make sure. If Hashem wanted to make sure that Bilam only gives a bracha to Klal Yisrael, so the only way to do it was to say it as clear as he's speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that way Bilam had no way of working around it. I think this idea is extremely important in the tkufa which we're getting into, which is the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks was set aside by Chazal that we should try focus on the Churban HaBayis and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and Chazal and primarily Minhagim set up different halachas and the rules how we could try have avelus in the 3 weeks. And it's somewhat difficult because naturally we don't really feel it's hard to mourn something which was gone for 2,000 years. So it's somewhat difficult to have the emotions, the real emotions for the Churban HaBayis. But Chazal and Minhag Yisrael are trying to create a framework that we should have these emotions. So we can approach it two ways. Many people approach it as a bunch of rules. And if you approach it as a bunch of rules, you will find a heter for every single one of the Minhagim and the Halachas. And you'll find a heter which makes them basically non-relevant. It says you can't. We have a minhag not to listen to music for 3 weeks. Okay, so we'll make a cappella. So that's, I won't listen to instrumental music. I'll listen to something which sounds just as good, but it won't be instrumental. So okay, so I got away with that one. I undid that one. I mean, shaving, we all have to shave for work, and bathing, no one can go without a shower for a couple of days. So every single one of those halachas, we found a way, and even legitimately could be, we found a way to work around them, and we're left with nothing. But if one's approaching it, it's not just am I violating the halacha, I want to try create some sort of feelings for the Beis HaMikdash. I want to try that when I come into Shul and Tisha B'Av, I can have a feeling of avelus. I can feel on some level some feeling of avelus. So Chazal are giving us the way how to do it. Here's these minhagi avelus. If you keep them properly for 3 weeks, come Tisha B'Av, you'll have some feeling of avelus. But you have to work to keep them properly. So I think the attitude has to be to try find ways of keeping them, not to try find ways of getting around them. So okay, each specific case, you have to judge yourself what's right and which kulos I can apply or not. But the attitude has to be, I want to try find some sort of things to create the actual feeling that Chazal are tending to create. There's some feeling of loss of the Beis HaMikdash, which if you follow the halachas properly, you will feel. But you have to be looking to create that feeling. Again, if it's just, I'm just looking at, here's a bunch of rules, you'll find a heter for every single one of them, even in a legitimate way. You can find a heter for every single one of them. Okay, just the last 3 minutes left. I just want to just share with you the Mishnah in Avos. Just a Beinu Yonah says in the Mishnah, so the Mishnah in Avos says, Kol mi sheyesh bo shlosha dvarim halalo mitamidov shel Avram Avinu. If you have these three things, you're a student of Avram Avinu. U'shlosha dvarim acherim mitamidov shel Bilam Harasha. And if you have the three opposite things, so then you're in Bilam Harasha's groups. So that's the contrast of Avram Avinu and Bilam. So what are the three things of Avram Avinu? Ayin Taiva. So number is you have a good eye. You're not jealous of other people? Are you able to forgin in Yiddish? I don't say an English word for forgin. Okay. In English, we don't do that. So it's a Jewish word. So you forgive other people, you're able to let go. Huh? Forgive, it's not really forgive. Okay, you're happy for other people, you let go for other. So that's an ayin toiva. Ruach nemucha. Ruach nemucha means humility. A person doesn't feel that he's everything's coming to him. He has a nivus. A nefesh shefela. So nefesh shefela, most of the Mepharshim translate has restraint, self-control. I'm not a person who just gives in to every urge or need which I have. So if a person has those three things, that he has a lack of jealousy, he has humility, he has self-control, so he's from Talmidim of Avraham Avinu. The opposite, he's a Talmid of Bilam. So Rabbeinu Yonah just makes a diuk. The Mishnah could have been written shorter. It could have just said, Kol mi sheyesh by ayin toiva ruach nemucha nefesh shefala is a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. Instead, the Mishnah makes an introduction. If you have three things, you're a Talmud of Avraham Avinu, and these are the three things from the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu. So just say simple. If you have these, if you have nefesh ayin toiva nefesh nemucha ruach shefala, you're a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. So Rabbeinu Yonah says that had it said a simpler way, I would have said like this. Avraham Avinu had 100 good things about him. This is not just a complete list of the greatness of Avraham Avinu. This is a very incomplete list. But if you have three things, so then you match Avraham Avinu in these three things. Avraham Avinu was 80. You can be a Talmud by having three out of the 80. That's how you would have read the Mishnah. But by the Mishnah writing it this way, the Mishnah is coming to say that this encompasses the entire greatness of Avraham Avinu. If you want to put down what was the key to success of Avraham Avinu, it's just these three things, not more. So he says, why? Because these are this is the prerequisite. If you have these three things, you will become you'll become Avraham Avinu. But this was the key to Avraham Avinu's success in all the other areas which he has. It starts out with these 3 meters. You start up with these 3 meters, so then you're a type of person that you can deal with other people, you can listen to other people, you can be sensitive to other people, you can understand other people. And same way with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So this is the entire secret to Avraham Avinu's success. It's not more than that. There's Avraham Avinu, if you want to say, what's the success of Avraham Avinu? It's these three things, and you have these three things, you're a full Talmud of everything that Avraham Avinu has. That's an important thing to know, that this is sort of the beginning. Avraham Avinu was to come to build the fundamentals of Klal Yisrael. What's the fundamentals of a religious Jew to have? What are the midos a religious Jew needs to have to be a real Torah Jew? Are these 3 meters. You have humility, you have the ability to lack of jealousy, and you have the self-control. Those are the keys to success in being a building a Torah life.